out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki. In this podcast, I'll be sharing some of the things that I've learned over the last few decades as a guitar player, as a composer, as a band leader and a sideman, as a researcher and student of music, and sharing strategies for practicing, improving your craft, and being a creative person in the modern world. These podcast episodes are audio versions of videos that I've been making over on Patreon for some time. So if you like what you hear, come on over to Patreon, Work with Miles Okazaki, and for the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can join into the community there, ask questions, get responses, make requests for new types of episodes, download special materials that I've posted, such as free books that I've written, exercises, computer programs that I've built, all kinds of things like that. And also, there are episodes that are primarily visual that are only posted there, such as specific technical studies on the guitar that require you to see what I'm doing, and things like sight reading. So, that being said, please enjoy, and best of luck on your musical journey. Welcome back. Today I'd like to talk about Baya. Baya is a 32-bar tune, AABA. The main reference I'm going to use is Thelonious Monk with John Coltrane at Carnegie Hall, 1957. There's a number of recordings with slight differences, but this is the one I'll use. And oftentimes this tune is played, as on this recording, a mix of swing and some kind of, quote, Latin feel or something like that. I'm going to try and get a little more specific in terms of what type of feel I put on there in terms of the way that I play it. But first, the basic tune. So it starts off going back and forth between this D-flat 7 sound, really more like a D-flat 9th with a sharp 11. Do you guys know the theme to Vertigo? It's that kind of sound. So D flat 9, sharp 11 to an A flat 6. Does that twice, and then up to G flat 7. Again, resolving to A flat major 9, something like that, major 6 9. That's a more normal kind of dominant progression, a backdoor dominant G flat 7 to A flat. This is more like almost like a 4-to-1. But what I mean, is it resolving? Is it an A flat? I don't. To me, this tune sounds like it's in E flat. But that's just my opinion. I don't know. They never really play E flat. I mean, just a little bit. So But on this recording, this Carnegie Hall recording, I think they don't play the E flat at all, if I remember correctly. Because you can end the tune, do that typical kind of walk up from D flat back up to E flat. But I think they just kind of stay on the D flat like this. After the G flat to seven to E flat, G flat seven to A flat, E seven or E nine. This is like B seven with a sharp 11 flat nine, because the melody is F E flat D F E flat C and to D flat with a ninth in it. I'm playing just a 6-9 chord. So the A section is. Now this part, when it goes up, playing this, a B flat. Sometimes Monk will play a C there. I'm just playing this because I like it, and because Coltrane plays it, the B flat there. It's nice on guitar, as you can see. You can get that hammer on. The C is much harder, so you have to play it up here. And that kind of interrupts. I like the. To me, that has a nice. You can grab it easily. And this song is all about being kind of tactile with the hand for me. Now the bridge goes to A major. It reminds me a little of. That tune, but then it, you know, it goes to D flat, but then it goes, the bridge goes. Well, I'm talking about Ruby, My Dear, which there's an earlier video on that. Much more complex tune, I think, harmonically, but it has the same thing where it's in kind of a flat key, and then it goes to this sharp key for the bridge. Big change. So this one goes, and it's here in this kind of D flat sound, or maybe it's E flat, you know, it sounds to me like. They don't do this, but to me this still sounds unresolved. And then it goes to the A major. Nice voicing on guitar. Typical kind of Brazilian voicing. I'm only playing F sharp and C sharp with this hand. Everything else is open. That's a bridge. Sorry, that's a bridge to Ruby, My Dear. This one's a. Then it goes back to A flat. So in this case, the A is serving as a kind of a dominant, in a way, to the A flat, because it kind of just slides down the half step. Now, it's not an A7. It's like an A major. But still, to my ear, it has that kind of function. Okay, then there's some 2-5s. This is B minor 7 to E7. It sounds like it's going back to A, but then it slides down. B flat minor, E flat 7, and then one more time, A minor to E, A minor to D7. And then back to D flat. Pretty wild. So this is the bridge. So the whole tune is like this. On there. On the Carnegie Hall thing, they just kind of stay on D-flat, but on other recordings, they do come up to E-flat as, you know, to kind of, I guess, play E-flat once in the form. Okay, so that's the basic tune. Now, I wanted to talk about this feel. There's this stroke that goes kind of like this. I'm going to get a little better on my right hand, get a little closer into the right hand. Unfortunately, my fingernails are broken right now, but I'm just kind of using my fingertips. I never rely on my fingernails because I can't keep them together that well. So I just use my fingertips, like the edges of my fingers here, to do this kind of stuff. Oh, I've got a sharp edge right there. I could hear. I'm gonna ignore that for now. So this is the feel. I'm using it just as an example chord. This kind of chord. I'm playing D flat, F, B flat, B natural. It's kind of like a D flat 7 with the 6 in it. So this stroke is, I learned this from a guitarist in Brazil named Nelson Faria. I took a lesson or two with him years ago, and he showed me this one stroke, and I worked on it for a really long time. It's a pandeiro stroke. Pandeiro is a drum in Brazil. You hear it all the time in, Brazilian music, whatever. So, and it's played, you put your thumb in the inside of the drum and hold it, and then you play it, you know, with the hand, and it has this kind of, it has a lot of emphasis on the, it's not like a straight beat, it's kind of like a wavy beat. I don't really know how to describe it, but it has a kind of hump to it that's like, now if I wanted to play continuous like 16th notes, like I could do that by just doing like all upstrokes, for example. Excuse this broken fingernail. I should take that off, but whatever. It just doesn't have much of a groove to it. It doesn't have much of a shape to it, you know. Whereas the pandeiro stroke has a kind of a limp, a little bit of a limp to it, a little bit of almost like a swing. Ah, dang it. I feel like I should take this off, but I don't have my fingernail file down here. Okay, I'll just continue. So what am I doing? I'm not doing all upstrokes. I'm doing up, up. I'm doing up, up, down, up. So it's more like how you would hit a drum with a kind of irregular pattern. So up, up, down, up, up, up. Now the down is actually with the backs of the fingernails like this on the strings. It's a weird stroke and it's hard to get it together. So you gotta practice, if you wanna do this stroke, you gotta do it very slow like this. And you try and get them so. What's hard to get is to get that downstroke to actually sound like something. I'll do it with without open strings, so it's a little easier to on this hand to mute it. So as I continue this, I can mute with this hand and create different rhythms. So I'm not really creating rhythms with this hand. This hand is just kind of going. And then I'm creating. So I hope you can hear that this has a little more of a life to it than just a straight 16th, you know. There's a lot more character. Now, I have no idea if this is like a widespread, this stroke or anything, but it's one that I learned and it's one that I like to use. I learned it, you know, in Brazil, so I guess it has a little bit of an origin that's interesting. Maybe I'll put it on, so I'll go back to this voicing. On the recording, I do a little bass line that's like, just to change it up. What is it? I think I go like this, yeah. Maybe I need to change the fingering. Yeah, so I'm playing underneath it, so I have to play this voicing with the pinky and the everything except this finger. So I'm doing that pandero stroke along with the bass line. Fast, it takes a long time. It took me probably at least a year to kind of get it up to being able to do. And that's, you know, it's still not that great, but I thought it would sound kind of cool on this tune to give it a little bit like. And then the main tune. You can kind of keep it going by inserting it here and there. Like. Maybe comp on the tune, it could be something like, you know, I might do this if I were playing it like duet or something like that, or I wanted to keep the bass together and the chords, something like Oh, sorry, let me try again. Thank you. And that's kind of the idea. It's a fun thing to practice. It's nice to get rhythm. I don't know. I did talk a little bit about on another video about like picking stuff where you keep the pick going and you mute with the left hand as opposed to stopping the pick. And it can give a tighter groove sound, a more continuous flow, because you're not stopping and starting with the right hand. Your right hand's just going, and the left hand is doing the kind of, you know, muting and things to create variety in what's happening. All right. I'll post a performance of this so you can see what I'm talking about. See you next time. Well, that's it for today's episode. Thanks for hanging out. And if you'd like to see a video version, head on over to patreon.com and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you sign up through the browser, it's a very minimal fee because I'm trying to create a large community of guitar players and other musicians. If you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. But in any case, over there you'll find all of these podcasts in video form, as well as many that are not included here. Guided practice sessions, listening sessions through favorite albums, discussions of repertoire, technical things on the guitar, philosophical things about creativity and making music. So thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your support of creative music.